chapter 8, verse 15 says this, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I am joined in the studio today by my wife, Debbie. And Debbie, welcome to the program.
Greetings, Dr. Shreve.
Yes, how nice. And so Debbie and I were talking last night about the program today, and I said, Debbie, what do you want to talk about? You know, she comes in probably once a week
right. For
the program. Everybody likes it when you're here.
Oh, that's nice.
And I hear that a lot from especially people that work at From His Heart. When can Debbie come on? So I try not to take that personally. But anyway, we watched a movie last night
Yes. That
impacted us greatly.
Greatly. I mean, it was like the where you could have sobbed like that. I mean, it was so moving. It was the new film put out by Kirk Cameron and the Kendrick brothers
Yes. Called
Life Mark. Yeah. Sorry, I wanted to say Landmark, and I knew that wasn't right as soon as I said it. Life Mark. And it's based on a true story.
Yes.
And as we saw the credits at the very end, they really did a fantastic job of getting actors and actresses that really did even look like the real people that were in this story. But it involves the message of adoption.
Right.
And it goes through, it's a unique movie in that it focuses on every element of adoption from every different vantage point. Mm-hmm. And I've seen movies on adoption before, but never one that in one movie focused on all different avenues and all
Right. Different
sites of what adoption looks like.
Well, they did a great job with it. You know, the Kendricks have been, they've hit home runs for a long time on the silver screen, and Kirk Cameron has teamed with them. They did Fireproof together, and such a great movie. And so as I was watching it, I texted Kirk, and I said, man, this movie's great. And right off the bat, they have a situation where their adopted son has a Chiari malformation.
Right.
And so Debbie and I are like, our youngest daughter, Sarah, had a Chiari malformation.
Yes.
Now, one thing in the movie, they kind of showed that as a...
Minimal, as a minor kind of thing.
It's like getting your tonsils out, and it's like, that's major surgery.
Yes.
And it takes a long time to recover from that. But did a great job, and as Debbie said, they really depicted the struggle of a crisis pregnancy. From the teenager's point of view.
From the teenage dad's point of view.
Right.
And the teenage mom's. Because I think so often people leave out the element of the teenage dad.
Right.
You know, because he is not as grossly affected physically, obviously, but emotionally, you know, there's a lot there.
And I saw an interview with Alex Kendrick, and he said, you know, we've been working on this movie since 2019. And so before COVID, it came out in 2022, but they've been working on it for a long time. And so when they started the movie, Roe v. Wade was still in effect. And, you know, it was June 24th when that got reversed by the Supreme Court and that decision given to the states. But it really depicts, you know, choose life. If you choose life, you're going to be so glad you did that. And, you know, for us as a family, we have an adopted granddaughter, and she could have easily been just like that, like so many others, where the mother doesn't choose life. And so we are so thankful that her mother chose life, because that little girl is such a blessing to us and to Jill and Jay and
just anyone she's around.
Yeah, I mean, she's
full of life.
She is special. So from the standpoint of the crisis pregnancy mom and dad, from the adoptive mom and dad going through the ups and downs of, you know, you put yourself out there when you're going to adopt, because will people choose me, or they choose me and then they decide at the end, I can't do this.
You know, and I remember vividly when Jill and Jay were, after Lyndon had been born, they had to stay where they were for an extended period of time, because in the particular state where they were adopting, they had a time frame where the mother could change her mind, the father could change his mind and not.
Yeah, like
and,
7 days or something.
No, it was longer than that. It was more like 10, I believe. Uh-huh. And just the emotional toil that was going through those 10 days, because you're getting attached, you're bonding with this infant, but yet still they could be taken from you. And so, there's just a lot that goes into that, which goes back to what I said earlier. That was what was so unique about this film, is that it gives you that from every different vantage point. The grandparents are involved, and dad are involved that are adopting, and just the trials that they had gone through in their personal life,
losing two children
and desiring so desperately to still be parents and to adopt. And I remember the one scene that was just so moving was when the wife told the husband, "I can't go through this again. Right. I cannot go through thinking that I'm going to be the adoptive mother and then that fall through and I lose another child." And that just hit home, because I remember those feelings of, oh, you know, is this really going to come to fruition, you know, or is this a temporary thing and then the birth mother's going to change her mind? And that's a lot.
Well, so as we're watching it, and we rented it on Prime, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of people, it came out months ago and a lot of people went to the theater and watched it. We weren't able to go to the theater and watch it, and I didn't get an advanced copy. So this was the first time that we got to see it, and I expected it to be good, and I was surprised at how much better it exceeded my expectations and how much more it exceeded, because it was fun. It was touching, extremely touching.
Extremely.
I mean, the tears would flow in different parts of the movie. And it wasn't, I told Kirk, I said, here's what I liked about it. It was so well done, and it was touching, but it wasn't sappy. It wasn't like, oh, come on, this would never happen like that. It was just really, really a great depiction of, as we said, all these different
emotions
and what people went through. And then it ended on such a powerful note. So
right.
it was filled with hope. It was filled with encouragement. So if you haven't seen the movie Life Mark, I would encourage you to go on I think it's on Prime, where you can rent it and watch it as a family. And man, it'll create great discussion, especially if you have younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, you know, we always choose life, and this is how, you know, God can take something bad and turn it for good as we trust Him. And so it's a great movie.
One thing that I found so moving in the movie, which just touched my heart so drastically as we watched it, was going back to the feelings that I had with our family situation. Because when we were at the hospital, we had been so excited about the birth and all of that, but it hit me while we were there, wait a minute, someone's giving something up for us to get this. Mm-hmm. And I had not really thought about it from that angle a lot, but it really hit me like a Mack truck when we were at the hospital waiting to see the baby for the first time, that what a tremendous gift this was, what a sacrifice this mm-hmm. was emotionally, and what a hard decision
It's such a selfless gift.
For the birth mother.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, this is my child mm-hmm. that I'm putting in the hands of somebody that I don't really know very well at all, other than what I've read about them, when they, you know, their profile. But I'm trusting that they can provide a better home for my mm-hmm. child than I can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a selfless act that pays huge dividends. And, you know, we all know that there are many that choose the abortion route, and not thinking through, you know, this isn't just about me. And if you really love yourself, you don't want to do that, because that is going to stick with you for the rest of your life. Doesn't mean you have to live in guilt, but you have to live with the knowledge that you did that, as opposed to the woman in the movie had the tremendous joy of knowing this is what I did for my son. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he, look what a great, young man he turned out to be. And look what the great family that, that God, you know,
provided
and led me to choose. And it wasn't made up. This is based on a true story. So right. It's not just somebody writing in a room and just making up the story.
Right.
Well, here's the great news. So the Bible talks about it, uses that metaphor with us, that we are adopted into God's family. And I was reading one of my favorite websites, gotquestions.org, gotquestions.org, and I looked up adoption, and they said, you know, two metaphors used in the scripture, we're adopted into God's family, but John 3, we're also born again. We're born into God's family, and those don't compete against each other. It's just two ways to share the same thing, that we are now part of God's family. And in the Jewish world, they didn't adopt. It was your lineage through birth was really, really key, and that determined everything, what tribe you were in and that kind of thing. If you were the tribe of Levi, if you were a son of Aaron, in the lineage of Aaron, you were in the priestly line. So those kinds of things would be really, really important. In the Roman world, adoption was very, very important, and this was interesting. So it was a significant and common practice in the Roman world, and a man had to pass along his wealth to a son. And if he didn't have a son, or if he had sons who were worthless sons, he would adopt a son. And he's not adopting a little kid. He's adopting a full-grown man, sometimes somebody older than he would be. And he would adopt that person, legally adopt them, so that he could pass along his wealth to them. And I thought this was really interesting. In the Roman world, a father could disown his natural-born son, but an adoptive son was irreversible.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And so God puts both of those things together. And this is what the Lord says, such a great passage of scripture in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, it says this, so also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's an intimate name for God. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So the adoptive son in the Roman world, would all his debts would be canceled, and he would be a son of that father, and he would receive all the blessings of that father and all the wealth and all the inheritance from that father. It was a wonderful thing to be adopted, and it is a wonderful thing for us to be adopted because of what Jesus did, and God sent his son, and God gave us his spirit, and God says now we are joined heirs, as the song says, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God.
Yeah, that's just a cool thing, and I love that phrase, the fullness of time, that it was at just the right time. And I think back of that even to the movie, and I think that, you know, they had wanted a baby for so long, but it was in the fullness of time at the perfect time that they got the exact baby that God wanted them to have. Like everything just lined up exactly the way it needed to for them to be chosen by the birth mother, and the timing of all of it. And I don't know, I just thought that was a cool element.
Amen. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm joined by my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the issue of adoption, to be adopted into God's family, a metaphor that the scripture uses to encourage us and to let us know that, God chose us, just like an adoptive mom and dad. They want to have this child. They choose to say, yes, when you have a child, we want that child. And God chose us before the foundation of the world. He loves us with an everlasting love. He has a plan for us. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back. And the phone lines will be open in this second segment. We'd love to hear from you. And so we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference. One significant way you can join us in this battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. Not only will the charitable gift annuity benefit you, but it will benefit the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, rescuing little girls from abuse. In her 50-plus years of ministry, she witnessed the transforming power of the Bible.
Sorrowful people are comforted. People who were in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book is in our hands today?
Bert Harper and Alex McFarlane explore the wonders of the Bible, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about the subject of adoption as we watched the movie last night, Life Mark, from the Kendrick Brothers and Kirk Cameron. Just such an excellent movie that really spoke to our hearts, that encouraged us. And it's a movie of hope. It's a movie of encouragement. It's a movie to help people, especially women in crisis pregnancy, young girls in crisis pregnancy, or women in crisis pregnancy. You don't have to be a teenager to be in crisis pregnancy, but to choose life. And so powerful how that story unfolded, where she was going to have an abortion and then at the last minute and chose life.
Well, what was interesting too about that was, I don't know if you caught this, but they had a line in the movie where at the abortion clinic, they protected her on the way into the clinic. The people that worked at the clinic, like they covered her face.
From
they covered
those that were standing
yeah,
for life.
Yeah, from the protesters that were standing for life. But on the way out, when she changed her mind and just left, there was no protection for her.
Right.
Which is like, okay, so shows you where their heart is, right? They don't care about that girl at all, you know. But I thought that was an interesting part that they added.
Well, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, because we know this subject matter is, it hits people hard when you're, when that's your story. Mm-hmm. And from the standpoint of a girl that's made the bad decision, has had an abortion, and has to live through that and work through all the guilt associated with that. The wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus is that there is no sin that we can commit that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, when we confess our sins, it washes white as snow.
I think that goes back to something I said earlier, too, because so often we overlook the birth father when the girlfriend or spouse, whatever, has had an abortion. Maybe he didn't want her to do that, and she did it anyway. And the guilt and the pain that he goes through as well. Because so often we only focus on the woman and not the man. And I think a lot of times it's because, you know, so many of the men are the ones that are encouraging them to get an abortion. But there are those cases where that is not true. And that can be a very difficult thing for a young man to walk through as well.
Well, and as they depicted in the movie Life, Mark, the attitude of the birth mom in meeting her son mm-hmm. as an 18-year-old was way different than
yes.
the attitude of the dad.
Yes.
And men, you know, men with other men, we're just not as good, by and large, you know, some are, but typically not as good as the woman would be. And I've always maintained this. There is a different kind of attachment between a mom and her sons and a dad and his daughters. It's an opposite sex thing.
Right.
You know, we had three girls, and so my attitude toward the girls is different.
Yeah, you always tell me you'll never get it, Debbie. You'll never understand.
Yes. And so Amy, our daughter, middle daughter with little Jack, and then getting ready to have Chase Maverick in February, her attitude toward her boys, way different than Travis's attitude. He wants them to be tough, and that's my little boy. I want him to be protected. And,
right.
And my attitude toward the girls, that's my little princess. I want her to be protected. And you see all through their manipulation when they would manipulate me. And,
right.
You know, I didn't even care to see it because it's just like, whatever they want, I'm ready to do it.
Yeah.
Because they're so special. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you as we talk about the subject of adoption and as we talk about the wonderful truth for a believer that you've been adopted into the Lord's family. And we have all the wealth of our Father who has said, you know, when we die, enter into the joy of your master. All this, all that is mine is yours, and we get to enjoy that for all eternity with the Lord. Well, we have Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just, my comment was not about adoption. It was about pro-life and teaching little kids about life.
Mm-hmm.
And one day when I was cleaning my gutters, I saw like this little baby pine cone, just, you know, like the size of your fingertip or smaller. And I was thinking, you know, about life and teaching kids things and how we used to have flannel boards in the old days, but now they have like computers. But having an actual object is kind of makes an impression. And I have a giant pine cone that came from, I don't know where, but anyway. And then taking my dog on a walk, I saw different pine cones that were maybe what you would say deformed or not perfect. And it was just an idea to tell kids, teach them about life and how it's still a pine cone. And this is the beginning of a pine cone and, you know, just different things like that.
Right.
And I was going to say, I knew a guy that had a really rough home life, and his mom was, I think, 14 or 15 when she had him, and had experienced a lot of rejection, and he had a babysitter who was a Christian, and she did visual, like, Bible stories and stuff and acted them out. And anyway, that really made an impression on him, and he became a Christian.
Mm. Amen. Very good. Well, thank you, Lynn. I appreciate that. And, you know, it's important for parents to teach their children and for pastors to teach their church. Life begins at conception. And that the baby in the womb, from the moment that that baby is conceived, that's a person. That's a person with a soul. And then God is obviously knitting them together and developing them. And just like a little baby that's born into this world, I mean, they have everything that they need right there, but their minds aren't developed yet. I mean, they need to learn and they need to grow. And so I saw a meme just yesterday where it showed a woman that was probably 8 months pregnant and her hands on her belly. And then after the baby was born and her baby right there, and they said, that's the same baby.
Yeah, there's no difference, just inside and outside.
Right, inside and outside, different location.
I saw that too.
So God bless you, Lynn. Well, we have Sarah on the line from, is it Louisiana or Indiana? Louisiana, I think. Sarah, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm an adoptive mom. I actually adopted older children, not babies.
Uh-huh.
But in my experience, I got a lot more support outside of the church than inside of the church.
Mm.
My husband says the same thing. And my children were not treated well. It's hard to talk about, obviously.
Mm. Yes, it'd be very hurtful.
I'm so sorry, Sarah.
Very damaging.
Right.
I've said it before. If it weren't for my relationship with God, I'd never step into another church again.
Mm. Mm. Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. That's a terrible thing. I would just encourage you, don't, you know, one bad apple doesn't mean that the whole bunch is bad. And, you know, there are churches out there and people out there that claim to be Christians that are anything but, and don't preach the gospel, don't live out the gospel, don't love God and love people. And I'm sorry you had that bad experience. How old are your children now, Sarah?
Four bad apples in our case, but I don't care if more apples than not are bad. I know that there's a narrow road, and I'm expecting that there's more on the wide road than the narrow road, no matter what building I'm in. But my children are grown now, and they're on their own and not doing well.
Mm. Wow, I'm sorry to hear that.
God's got them.
Say it again.
God's got them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We trust that, and we rejoice in the day that he turns their hearts back to him. Mm-hmm. Because if he answered our prayers to make us parents with those children, then he'll answer our prayers to call them back to him.
Mm. Amen. How old are they?
They're in their early 20s.
Early 20s, okay. All right.
Yeah. They're in that stage where they're rebelling against everything, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. My husband and I went through that too, so we know that there's going to come a day that when they get tired of facing things that aren't going to satisfy the need in their hearts.
Right.
But they both know the Lord, and we can trust him with them.
Yeah. Now, they're related or unrelated?
They're siblings.
They are. Okay. Did they connect with their birth parents or no?
Well, the reason we adopted them is because one of their parents was dying and the other parent had never been in their life.
Okay.
And shortly after we adopted them, we found out that the parent, I don't want to go into too much detail because
sure.
A lot of people know them.
Yeah.
The parent wasn't as good a person as what we were told. But gloriously, we were able to watch him come to the Lord before his death. And my children got to see the change in him, which was profound.
Wow.
Profound.
How cool.
And so that's something that they'll always have.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, Sarah, we'll be praying for them. And thank you for calling in today. And, that's a challenge to all of us that, you know, that we want to be, we talk about it at First Baptist Texarkana, you know, what's our mission? Loving God, loving people, and sharing the truth of Jesus. And so that horizontal piece, loving people, I mean, Jesus said that's the second greatest commandment. Love me is the first one, and love your neighbor as yourself is the second one. And so I appreciate you sharing what you've shared, and we'll be praying for your children, and may God just bring them back to himself. So God bless you. Well, we have Bill on the line from West Virginia. Bill, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just gonna give you a little background. My sister and I are in our 79th year right now, but we were born up in Canada, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, in 1944. When we were first born, we were adopted by my parents. My mother and father, who raised us, always told us we were adopted, but told us how much we were loved. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, it wasn't until the last few years I really learned how much love God had for my sister and I, given us the parents that he did. And what happened was, when I retired back in 1999, I wanted to go up to Canada, see if I could find the birth parents, just to let them know when they went to their grave how good things turned out for my sister and I. Mm-hmm. My sister was against it, so we didn't go. I'm sorry I didn't do that. But what happened was, my oldest daughter, she has three children of her own now, she gave me 23andMe, the DNA kit, 1 year for Christmas. I guess it was like 2017 or whatever when she gave it to us. I didn't want to do it to mess it up. She came one day, and you couldn't mess it up. I didn't know. And she came the following year, and she said, "Dad, we're going to do that DNA." So we went and did it. I told her to have the information sent to you, and they did. Well, in 2018, a woman up from Alberta, Canada, contacted my daughter and told her that she thinks she knows who, I go by the name of Bill, who Bill's birth father was. Hmm. She was down to three people. One of those three people, the next morning, and then we were on vacation with my daughter and her husband. The next morning when I got up, my daughter was already up. She said, "Dad, Judy called from Alberta and said, listen, she knows definitely who your birth father is," and she gave me the name and all. And tell you, this is, I'm 70-some years old at that time. What happened was that we found out, and we did go up in 2018. We met. They were both passed away. The mother and father both passed away. So we did not get to meet either one of them. But I will tell you this. When that woman also gave my wife the information on how to get my birth certificate, it came very shortly. It took like only 2 weeks that it came here to West Virginia from Canada. And I was sick with something called PMR for a while. And I was laying in bed. My wife went and got the mail and came in. It was in the afternoon. And she said, "Bill, I have your birth certificate." Well, I'll tell you, I wasn't really ready for hearing. I listened. But, I didn't know how I was going to handle it. But when she read, not my birth parents' names, both of them, they were not married, okay. It was during the war, and she said,
"We got 1 minute."
When she read my mother and father's name, I cried. Because I was blessed like you would never believe, and I thank the Lord every day for my parents. And eventually, people realize, you know what? It's not bringing a child into the world that makes you a parent. It's raising them. Mm-hmm. Putting yourself through all their hurts and their good things and bad things and everything else. It's raising them. And, for that lady who was on just before, I feel the pain for her. And you know what? It will, when people realize that, they realize who your parents really are.
Yeah.
And it's all the good Lord's work. So that's all I want to say. I'll just let you know.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you calling in. We're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be right back.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
This is Bible League International with an urgent plea. You know, Christian persecution in the 20th and 21st centuries exceeds all previous 19. I mean, that tells you that we're addressing what is arguably the number one issue facing the global church. Christians are paying a heavy price simply for believing Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This woman in South Africa was hated by her family now that she's come to Christ, but here's her reaction when she finally got her own Bible.
We were in Mpumalanga. The lady there, she knelt down and she cried. At the age of 60, she never had a Bible.
AFR listeners, you're putting tears of joy on the faces of Bible-less persecuted believers all over the world. You've done that for thousands. We have to wrap up January 31st. The need is so great, so please, at $5 a Bible, $50 sends 10, $500 sends 100, would you pray about it and then call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org. Would you do it by January 31st? And God bless you for caring.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the subject of adoption. As we were greatly impacted last night by the wonderful movie that came out just a few months ago called Life Mark, and we were able to watch it on Prime for $4.99, I think was the rental price, but definitely worth the money, and it really was a great impact on our hearts. And so the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840, and we'd love to hear from you on this, a very important subject, because God uses the metaphor of adoption to let us know that we are in His family, and He has chosen us and adopted us into His family. And so we have Corey on the line from Texas. Corey, thanks for holding, and welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, you're going to need to Jeff, turn. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Okay. Go ahead and turn your radio down.
Is that better?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead, Corey.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry about that. First off, thanks for your ministry, Pastor Jeff. I love you, man, and enjoy listening in the morning and also at 6 o'clock in the evenings.
Thank you.
the reason I was calling, I came in while Sarah was speaking, and I may have not completely followed it correctly, but it sounded like she had had a rough experience with her church coming alongside her, and it jaded her as far as like her experience with that. But my wife and I wanted to encourage her. My wife and I tried adopting a baby last year out of California, who was born to a heroin addict mom and abandoned in the hospital. And the long story short, unfortunately, the state, we were not able to successfully adopt the baby. Although we pray and hope she's with a good Christian family now. But what was real neat is, you know, we had called our pastor and explained to him the situation and just asked him to please be praying for us. And without us even asking him, then later that day or the next day, my pastor called me and just let him know that he spoke with the elders of the church and that, you know, they wanted to come alongside us and help us financially and anything they could do to help us out. And that just melted my heart. I still get emotional now thinking about it, just the support. And we knew we had that support from that church. Like, they love the Lord so much, and they as a result, love the body of Christ. And so I just wanted to encourage her, and I know she has, it sounds like, a strong relationship with the Lord, and that's what's held her up even through the bad experience she had. But there's some solid churches out there like yours that, you know, when you're, you know, on this journey of life, whether it's through adoption or whatever, that will come alongside and wrap their arms around you and do life with you. So it was just a word of encouragement, and I just want to thank you as well for all that you do.
Thank you, Corey. I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, I was thinking, Corey, when our daughter and her husband were going through the adoption process, our church just rallied behind them. I mean, we had people donate, and we had a huge garage sale and raised just thousands of dollars to help them offset the cost of the adoption, because unfortunately, it's a lot cheaper to have an abortion than it is to adopt a baby. And it's much cheaper to have a baby with insurance than it is to adopt a baby. And so that's such a deterring factor for so many that would long to have children and long to adopt that they simply can't afford it. And so it's wonderful when the body of Christ can come together and be the arms and legs and the feet and just help in that and be engaged in that as well.
Yeah. GoFundMe has really helped for that.
Yes, it has.
Put your story out there. And I know Jill and Jay got a lot of support from friends and people in the church. And so anyway, Corey, thank you for that. That was a great testimony. Well, we have Emilio from Texas. Is that Emilio? How am I saying that?
Emilio.
Emilio. Well, welcome to the program, Emilio.
Thank you, Pastor. And yes, Debbie, thank you for accepting my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm just want to let y'all know that I appreciate y'all, what y'all are doing.
Thank you.
And I'm the grandpa. So my daughter, she fosters to adopt, and she's gone through... Well, right now she went to three of them. Right now she has one foster, and he was born in the hospital, addicted, and they had to wean him from drugs. So she would go over there and comfort him. Every time she could. So... Now he's five, and he's been having hearings, and the judge awarded him custody, but they're having a hard time getting his birth certificate, because when he was born in the hospital, they didn't do none of that. They didn't go through the papers or anything, so they're having a hard time getting a birth certificate. She calls to Austin daily, and they keep telling her they're working on it. But I'm just worried that it might go wrong, because there was a national survey that San Antonio was one of the worst adopted to adopt a baby. So I'm just wondering if there's any help or something.
You're in San Antonio, Emilio?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do this. There might be somebody listening that can respond to that. Give your information to, we'll take you off off air. Don't hang up, and then the caller, call screener can get your information, and we can contact you and see what might we can do to help you in that. And what kind of help are you looking for?
Just to get the adoption papers. I mean, the birth certificate.
Oh, so you need some legal assistance with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there might be somebody listening that could help with that. But we'll get your information off air, and then we'll contact you and see what we can do. We'd like to be a blessing and a help to you. And I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you calling in. And we'll definitely be praying that all would go well there. So God bless you, my brother. So don't hang up, and Pat will get your info. Well, we have Nona on the line from Oklahoma. Nona, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and say that when my husband was 21 years old and he was single, some female conceived and gave birth and gave it up for adoption, and he was never aware of the situation. It was probably a one-night relations. And the daughter, the baby was given up for adoption, and she has found us 60 years later.
Wow.
Through Ancestry.com. And since we have found her, or she has found us, we've had a relationship, and that's been for the last 8 months. Her adoptive parents are still living, and she says she had a very good home life, so it was probably a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that those situations are, adoptive. It's great that people give their baby up for adoption when they realize they can't take care of them.
Mm-hmm. It really is. How did your husband respond to that?
He always said, he has always said that if he ever had another child out there or ever had a baby out there, he would want to know. And so they have a relationship, and he's happy about it. And mm-hmm. he has three biological daughters, and they're all happy about it also. And she's been accepted into the entire family.
Mm. Well, that is really cool. That can be. So how was that for you to find out?
It was fine for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a situation that happened long before we were ever married.
Well, in the movie, they depict that the husband's new wife, he had never told her. Now, it wasn't the birth father. He had never told her, and so it was a kind of a shock to her system. Now, it wasn't something that he didn't know. I mean, he knew about the baby, but he just never told her about the baby. So, that can bring in a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings. But what a great story, Nona, that she found you, or that there was a connection and a love on both sides.
Well, it was interesting because the movie depicts that when the young man meets his birth mother and meets his birth father, it's like his life puzzle, that piece that's been missing, it kind of falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was an important element of the entire story, is that a lot of adoptive kids really struggle with that. They love their adoptive parents, but there's just a piece of their life puzzle.
Right.
That isn't there. That to have closure and have completeness and have fullness, they're seeking out who their birth parents are.
Right. And I think the idea that, well, they didn't, my birth mother didn't want me. Why did they not want me? You know, the movie October Baby, mm-hmm. that was, golly, you talk about causing you to cry.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to give up. And yeah, there's such love that goes into that. And it's scary, just like the movie depicted. The birth mother was terrified that the son that she gave up was going to hate her.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure that there were times when he was growing up that he did feel like, why did my birth mother not want me? Those kind of things. But as he matured and as he grew,
he
came to realize what a blessing and what a gift that was, that he was given up.
Well, in October Baby, the girl finds her birth mother. The birth mother tried to abort her, and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. And she finds her, and the mother wouldn't recognize her as, no, you know, I'm not going to recognize you. And so she had to deal with rejection that mm-hmm. was deep, deep, deep. And the last scene of the movie is she hugs her dad, mm-hmm. and it always makes me cry.
Uh-huh.
But she says to him, thank you. And he says, for what? And she said, for wanting me. And I love that, because that's the heart of God. He wants us. He wants to have a relationship with us.
Yeah. Very moving.
So thank you for that. Thank you for calling in. Oh, well, we have Sandy on the line from Texas. Sandy, welcome to Real Truth for today.
I'm getting choked up. Yes. I'll be 81 next weekend, and I knew my birth father because his parents raised me and adopted me. I only saw my birth mother one time when I was 4, and she didn't really want anything to do with me. But I've always been really curious who she was. I found out from a grandfather, my mother's father's brother. He found out, I was in 30, I was 30 or something, and he found out that my mother had a child by her first marriage. He didn't even know it. They had just totally, you know, just totally forgot that I existed. And he wrote to me, he sent me a picture of my birth mother, her new husband, and two siblings that I've never met. And I just want some prayer for healing, because it does hurt. Mm-hmm. And yes, she's passed on. That much I do know, she's passed on now. But, you know, why she didn't want me, you know, it's kind of a thing. I don't know. My dad wanted me, which was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she didn't want me. And I've just always been curious who she was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sandy, I definitely pray. We have about a minute, but let me pray for you. And Father in heaven, we thank you for Sandy. I thank you for her calling in. And I thank you that you love her with an everlasting love. And I thank you that she was not unwanted, because you wanted her and you formed her in the womb. And I know that there are circumstances that are very, very painful there. So I just pray you'd pour out your comfort and grace, and that you would hold her close to your heart. And Lord, that you would just give her a peace that passes understanding, and a healing, because you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God who heals. And I thank you for her calling in today. And Father, use that movie, October Baby, that speaks to her situation. Use that in her life and to just bring closure and bring encouragement to her. Well, God bless you, Sandy. Thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for listening today. And this is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out and shine and share. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.